is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Adam Carolla, pissed.
I was talking to my friend on the phone tonight as I was yelling at somebody. It was just, I drive behind cars that don't even, I think a lot of the cars I get behind, like in the canyon, don't have wheels. They have actual bean bags where the wheels would go.
Like square blocks.
No, just bean bags.
Bean bags, yeah.
Just loose bags filled with sand or beans.
Flopping around.
They kind of skid a little.
Yeah.
Isn't anyone interested in getting wherever they're supposed to go? Where are they going? Where's everyone driving to? The electric chair, the gallows, in-laws' house?
Yeah.
Where is it when you climb in your car at 9:30 at night that you're going somewhere that you don't really seem like you need to arrive at?
Mm.
Or what do you do? Give yourself what's everyone do? Give themselves like an hour and a half to get everywhere? Like, I'm going to the market. It's 9:15. It's down on the corner. I'm going to need to get there by 11. Is that what everyone's life has come down to?
Did you ever have that kind of time in your life?
No.
Think about it, yeah.
Here's the thing. Even when I was just smoking weed and sitting on the sofa all day, when I got my car and I was going somewhere, I just wanted to get there. That was the whole plan.
Yeah.
Whole plan was, see, how do I get from wherever I am to wherever I'm going to as fast as I can?
Mm-hmm.
Always been that way. Oh. So I was driving here tonight, and there was a cop on the freeway, and this SOB was doing like 58 in a 65. And it's a little tricky. See, here in Southern California, the freeways are 55, and then they go to 65, and then they go back to 55, and you're never quite sure where you're at when you're there.
Right.
Especially through Hollywood area. And a cop will drive at like 58, and you'll think, are we going over 55, or are we well under 65?
Well, then you think, well, I'm supposed to go with the speed, the flow of traffic.
I think I'm in a 65, so it's okay to pass the guy, but if we're in a 55, I don't want to go past him, and everyone is now going 57 miles an hour behind this SOB.
The flow, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The cops become the pace cars, and here's all I'm saying. Come on, cops. Where are you going? You got to get somewhere, too. What about those perps? Aren't you rolling on something? Let's get moving, fellas. You cops should be going minimum 70 miles an hour everywhere you go.
Sure.
And we should then be sort of drafting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that feeling? No better feeling than when a cop is just cutting his way through traffic and really, he's going somewhere and he ain't looking in his rear view. Nothing better than sliding behind that guy and going, all right, he's ahead of me. I see where he is. It's like running behind the bulls in Pamplona. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
You run as fast as you can. Just don't bang up one of their asses. You're fine. They're not going to turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was delightful. So almost late. Then I was about to do my normal left at the Red Arrow here in Culver City.
Right.
And saw the Culver City PD parked down on the corner. Looked like they were scoping me out.
Oh,
so I just sat there and watched them until it turned.
You're getting paranoid. You believe just because a cop is parked is there for you?
Well, I thought I yell it on the radio all the time. And then I saw him actually go out into the busy street and then back up a little bit down the side street and then just sit there. So it really looked like he was kind of perched
like
there.
Like I said, paranoid. Thinking when you speak, people actually listen to you.
Now, let me tell you. Here's what went through my mind, jackass. I thought either he's there because he's heard me scream that I go through the Red Arrow every night on the way to work, or he's just sitting there anyway.
Yeah.
Either way,
right.
He can see me.
There you go.
I can see
That's
him.
That's right.
I'm going to wait till the arrow changes.
What is it? What do you have to fear with the Culver City PD, though? They drag race you every night.
Please, that never happened.
Oh.
How dare you?
God.
How dare you? Would you shut up, you idiot? You got to be cool. All right, where are we?
All right, here we go.
And let me say one more thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I was noticing this. I got a new pair of sneakers. I was wearing them. And I'm walking in them, and then I notice that I'm one of the laces is dragging on the ground, so I go make the bow a little bit bigger, and then I notice the other lace is dragging on the ground, and then before you know it, I have huge novelty-sized bows, and people are telling me, well, double knot them. You got to double knot them. And then I thought back to when I was playing hoops on Saturday, and I was wearing some high tops. I had to double knot those, and then I thought about I got some boxing shoes where you have to take the lace and wrap it around your ankle a couple times and tie it. And I thought, what's with all the extra laces?
Yeah.
Why does every tennis shoe have a lace that's 8 inches longer than it needs to be? Why do I got to deal with it? Why do I got to double knot? People like double knot it and then tuck it into the... Why do we have so much lace on every shoe? Dress shoes, not enough lace.
Yeah.
They need more lace on those dress shoes. Tennis shoes, like you buy a pair of high tops, you got to cut them. Like, you got to modify them.
I'm disturbed by the not enough lace part.
Well,
you're
Drew,
right.
Well, you wear a dress shoe,
yes.
So you know the not enough lace in the dress shoe.
Yes.
You get a dress shoe, and you get about two and three quarter, 2 7/8 worth of lace.
If you're lucky, you can adjust it so you can make one loop.
For which to tie.
Yeah, that's right. You can't make do because you can't put it even. No way.
Tennis shoe, I look like Pippi Longstocking with these things. Two huge bows hanging off.
Let me tell
off.
You something. Kids' shoes, even worse.
It's nothing but lace.
Are tripping over their tied shoes.
I know, and people are like, well, you got to cut them off. Oh. And I'm like, yeah, but if I cut them off, then if they pop out, I can't thread them. Yeah. I can't get them back through the eyelet.
Yeah, and each shoe now has its own kind of special lace, too. It's like, hey, if I break this lace, I'm going to get a new shoe.
I'm just saying how much extra lace. You know, it's like it's a 10 and a half, it's an 11, it's a regular. What's the scenario that am I going to hang myself? What's the scenario that I need all this extra lace? And is it cheaper for them to give me 44 lineal feet of extra lace on every set of shoes?
Oh,
do you know what?
Yeah.
I would think it would be more expensive.
Then
it starts getting weird. So then people are like, well, here's what you do. String it up so it's uneven. So the one side just has about 6 inches,
yeah.
And their side has like 4 feet hanging out. Then you chop that, and then go ahead and sear it over an open flame. It's nylon.
Right.
You can cauterize it that way. It's like, I just want some laces that fit on the shoe it came in.
Yes.
The hell is going on here, Drew, with these laces?
With you. I'm completely with
Drew's
you.
Pissed off about the
short laces.
The dress shoes. I'm pissed off about the tennis shoes with the long laces. And then... the lace becomes your conduit to the filthy outside world because you walk into the men's room, you're taking a leak, you're looking down, you're seeing your lace just sort of sitting there sucking up whatever's in there. You start walking on them, they start getting
your
all
lace
scummy.
Are hanging in the urine, and that's the part you're working with.
If anybody manufactures shoes or knows anyone who manufactures shoes, I just want the goddamn answer with these laces.
Yep.
I've had an ass full of these long laces. They get longer every year, too. When I was a kid, they weren't bad. Now, I got tennis shoes. I got to sit down. I got to figure out what to do with everything.
Yep.
Double knot everything, wrap it around the ankle, cut it off and cauterize it. It's a disaster. Just make the goddamn lace the right thing for the shoe that you're putting it in.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
Drew, I tell you, when I'm in charge...
Amen. Napalm.
And then ironically torture us with the dress shoes and the itty bitty laces.
Torture.
You got to get your little fingers out, like you got to
no,
go.
No, you got to get surgical instruments out. Yes,
right.
It's like doing a laparoscope.
And then they make them out of sort of harder material that doesn't bend so well. And then so always whatever. At some point in the evening, you're back down again doing the lace. And if you're wearing tennis shoes, at some point you're back down because you stepped on something and untied something. How many countless injuries are caused every year by this excess of lace?
Class action.
And here's the thing on the tennis shoes. I'll bring my goddamn New Balance in here tomorrow. You'll go nuts. It's not an inch and a half. It's 4 inches on each side that I don't need.
Yeah.
Big old novelty bows. I want some answers. Katie?
Hey.
What's wrong with these laces?
Oh, I don't know. It's screwed.
Yeah, baby doll. What's up?
Katie, 14.
All right.
She can appreciate what you're yelling about, Adam. What's up, Katie?
Well, I want to apologize for my phone. It's all screwed, but I couldn't get the other one because my dad's still in the room, and I'm going to get my ass kicked if I go in there.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Your phone's
sorry,
fine. Guys. It's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's better than the average Loveline caller. So what's up?
Oh, good. All right. Well, I can be into a guy for, I don't know, several months, and then when he finally asks me out, I find, for maybe, it'll last a week, okay? And then I'll find some reason why I just can't stand the guy.
Yeah.
And I call it off. I mean, it could be...
Have you ever had a relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I've had about five.
No, one that kept going, that worked.
Oh, okay, the longest one I had was about a month.
And so these just don't work. But, you know, sometimes you're very young, and sometimes that's sort of a protective mechanism to make sure you don't get involved with somebody too intensely, too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a protection or sort of a barrier against intimacy, which at 14 is just fine.
All right.
Now, you did mention your dad will kick your ass. You mean figuratively or literally?
Well, literally, because it just depends on his mood. I mean, I can...
All right, so if your dad kicks your ass,
I'm not sure if she knows the literally and the figuratively.
Well, okay, here, I'll give you, sometimes when he can be in a good mood and I can get away with some stuff, but then if I just say one thing, he'll, like, come up and, like, slap my face. I can't really, like, kick you.
All right, that's bad. All right, that's bad.
Yeah, that's going to affect you.
All right.
Now, where's your mom?
No, she's here. She's here. But
she doesn't talk to him about that?
No, yeah, she'll stick up for stuff, but she kind of has her own hang-ups with her parents because she got hit for stuff that
he probably does it to her.
Shocking that she got hooked up with this guy.
Yeah.
Katie, listen, I know you're going to have a little anger toward your dad and maybe sometimes guys.
Yeah, my mom.
I know, and you know what that causes? It causes you to get up in them, in their grill, and get into it with them, and then that causes more trouble for you.
Well, or she finds more guys like dads to dump on.
Yeah, but Katie's smart.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, she's smart, but she can't help herself. The reason she doesn't like staying with these guys, these are guys that are nice and good, boring, because they don't have the abusive quality about them.
But, Katie, I'm going to need you for the next few years to kind of get involved with school and stay out of your dad's crosshairs.
Maybe sports, wrestling, lacrosse.
Wrestling? Okay.
They don't have chick wrestling.
I don't know. Something where she can express her aggression.
Yeah, my friend's been trying to get me into that.
Yeah.
All
wrestling?
Right.
Yeah, she's in wrestling. She's like, oh, you get to wear a tight little uniform.
They have girl wrestling?
Yeah, at my school they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did I know that? I was kidding.
Gorgeous women of wrestling. It's gorgeous ladies of wrestling. It's called Glow. They're hot. Yeah, you pick up a name. They call you a name like Mistress Katie or something like that. Or the widower.
Katie Calypso.
The widower maker. You don't have that for the... You got the widow maker for the fellas, but you really don't have the widower maker.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. It's really the sort of goyim equivalent to the bat mitzvah. It's like, nah. That's where the 13-year-old chick becomes a dude. All right. Look, everybody, especially if your dad's a pain in the ass, your mom's a pain in the ass, just kind of skate around them. Drew, you skated around your parents for a few years when you were in the house, right?
Sure.
Your parents were embarrassing. You didn't want them coming around showing their face, right?
That's normal adolescent stuff.
Yeah, you're freaked out by your parents. You don't want them hanging out with you, right?
Right.
You slide in the house, you slide up in your room, they don't even know you're home, right?
Yes, but Katie kind of needs some guidance. That was the problem.
Mm.
They need to watch her.
Claire?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was having sex with my boyfriend yesterday, and the condom broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm supposed to go get the morning after pill, but the thing was that yesterday was the last day of my period, so I don't know, I was just kind of wondering if that made it sort of less of a chance.
It makes it less of a chance, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't get the pill.
It's really, really hard for me to go get it. Because,
why?
Because the places close at like 5 and I don't get out of school till like 4:30.
What places?
The places where I can go, like Planned Parenthood and stuff.
Why don't you get out of school till 4:30?
Because I go to an arts high school.
You go to what?
Arts.
An arts high school.
Art-sized school?
Arts.
Arts. Like a feeder school. Arts.
No, what was the second
arts
word?
Arts high school. Arts high school.
Oh, all right. I got to hear that again, so I'm going insane. You go to arts high school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You go to arts high school.
Yeah.
And what do you study over there?
Visual arts, but we have performing arts, too.
Performing arts. It's just a code for you being a crappy student?
No.
No? All right. What time's the school start?
8:10. 8:40.
All right. How about getting yourself out of there right at 4:30, making a beeline for the Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
You can get there
an
hour.
Yes, it's difficult, but you need to do it.
Okay.
All right. And then maybe get on the pill regularly if you're going to be having sex with this guy.
Yeah. Arts high school.
Yeah.
You know what I love about I don't know how Drew heard it, but I love about our callers, like, you say, excuse me, I couldn't understand that. They'll say it exactly the same way, maybe a little faster second time.
Arts high school.
You go to arts high school? I always thought it was like high school for the performing arts. I think that's what screwed me up, is putting the arts first.
Well, this is not, she said it's a visual arts, and they have performing arts there.
Claire?
Yeah?
So how do you get into the arts side school?
You have to audition.
You do?
Yeah.
And yours is for the performing arts?
Well, we have performing arts, but we also have visual arts too, and that's what I'm in.
She's in the visual arts.
Does that mean you're painting?
Yeah.
And is that your medium?
Well, we study all different things. Painting and drawing and photography and sculpture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're not doing any of that crazy hippie modern junk, are you?
No.
Yeah, okay. Good. You stick with the classics like Rembrandt. Let me tell you something. Any art that I see where I go, I could have done that if I was high enough, ain't art. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I hear you.
You take a look at Rembrandt, you go, ooh.
Can't do that.
Can't do that. No.
No matter
what. It's that way with half the bands we have in here, too. Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, yeah. Vicky?
Yes?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
Hey. I go to Homestead High School with a guy named Derek.
Uh-oh. Hold on again. Wait. Hold on a second.
Homestead High School?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't go to Arts High School?
Huh?
Arts High?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, it's really weird because he's always talking about sex-related things.
Yeah.
And, like, how he likes... He's always joking about, like, screwing all these chicks. But when it actually comes to doing anything with a girl, he won't. He gets, like, really scared.
Yeah.
Even about, like, just kissing a girl. And, like,
uh-huh. He's got such really a small penis, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know because... Yeah, I just wouldn't.
You wouldn't
know. Like, I really don't know why. Like, I don't know why guys get so scared.
Hi, Mommy. I'm gay.
All right. Hey.
And no, I don't think it's because of that.
That's a bogus chick call, Drew.
No.
No, it's not.
Why she announced the high school? Well, first off,
didn't say the guy's name.
Because I know
the guy's name is Derek.
And I want him to know that I think this.
Ah, so it is kind of bogus. You're right.
Yeah.
Kind of bogus.
What?
She's basically using our...
No, it's not. I want to know what you think.
Yep, she's using our radio show. It's like her personal PA system.
Yeah,
no, it's
yeah.
not.
Well, it's sort of more like a stick, a mallet to whack this guy with.
No.
Why is he so fearful? He always talks about all this stuff like it's a big deal, and then he's scared when the real thing arrives.
Yeah. All right, listen, Vicky, who cares? You got a crush on the guy, right?
Yeah, well, not really anymore.
Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got it bad. Bad for him.
Well, you did, but now you're angry with him for not being a little more forthcoming.
Yeah, because he's all talk, and it's really annoying.
All right.
There you go.
All right, baby doll. How you doing with the boys?
Otherwise.
How's your dad treating you?
Huh?
How's your dad treating you?
I haven't seen him for 10 years because he's in Russia. My parents got divorced 10, like, 12 years ago.
Fantastic.
What's he doing in Russia?
Well, he has a PhD in, like, physics, I think. He's a professor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, he just abandoned the family then, right?
Well, we moved from Russia like 10 years ago.
So you left him there?
Yeah.
Okay, is he ever planning on coming back here and seeing you?
Nope, I don't think so.
Do you still speak Russian?
Huh?
You still speak Russian?
Yeah.
Good times. You left when you're 4?
Yeah, exactly.
But Mom still speaks.
But your mom speaks Russian?
Yeah.
Okay.
She has like a really heavy accent and everything.
So now you can let her use this as a PA, but she has to say it in Russian.
All right, you got anything you want to say in Russian, Vicky?
Not really.
Okay. Well, that was a good payoff, as usual. All right, listen, baby doll, maybe the guy's not interested in you, but don't get so angry and aggressive with the guys.
I know, like, kind of do sometimes. I overreact about a lot of things.
I know, because
your dad's
a jerk, and he's back there in Mother Russia.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's a jackass.
He calls me once a year on my birthday for, like, 5 minutes.
I know.
It's too expensive to talk. So he can't even spend, like, 5 actual minutes talking.
I know. Listen,
but at least she realizes he's a dick and doesn't blame herself for it.
Yeah, and don't do anything where you long to win his approval and all that kind
of
stuff.
Or glorify and idealize who he is.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Well, that's how she would say it.
Come on. How? Okay. This is Vicky?
Yeah.
Vicky.
Yeah?
Vicky, say something bad about your dad in Russian.
I don't really know how to swear necessarily.
It's never.
Yeah.
It's never anything good.
Love line call. It's always a love line call.
Let me tell you something about every time. First off, foreigners have zero sense of humor. The funniest guy in Russia was Yakov Smirnov, and he wasn't funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His big joke is like, in Russia, we can say things about Brezhnev, and that this same.
You're good.
I'm less funny than Yakov Smirnov. No, he'd say, in America, you can say things about Reagan. In Russia, it's the same thing. We can say things about Reagan. And that was the big laugh. That was a big joke. That's the funniest thing I ever got, right?
Yeah.
But everyone loved the guy because it was during the heart of the height of the Cold War, and he was just beating up Mother Russia.
Yeah.
But no one has a sense of humor. You go to that Middle East. Ooh. Goddamn camels are funnier than the people who live there. Those are some of the angriest, meanest, unfunniest people I've ever seen in my life. And what is it, by the way, with some of these cultures? It's just zero sense of humor. It's not in the culture. It's like you hear the music, you see the food, you see the religion. There's art, there's architecture, there's other aspects of
culture.
Their culture, yeah. But there seems to be zero emphasis on a sense of humor, and I think that's kind of a bad thing.
Yeah,
it's not not fellas I'd like to hang out with. But every single time I speak to a foreigner, or as I call them, troublemakers. I always say to them, oh, you speak this language or that language. I go, give me slang for boobs. You know, what is a good slang word for the boob? Drew, just go kick the stupid thing, would you, Drew? You do it every time when you're talking about.
There you go.
Drew, why you got to get someone in here to fix the TV screen, which all you do is shake that wire every single time?
I've been working on it for about 5 minutes here. You weren't aware of it.
No.
I've been working under the table with my foot.
Now it's with his foot.
Yeah.
All right, MacGyver.
Because you get so upset every time. I tried that earlier today. It was already in.
Really?
It's under the table where it gets a problem.
How come Ann went in and pushed it in the back and it worked?
I don't think anything to do with the back. It just was the cable underneath. Maybe. Right.
Where was I? Where was I, Drew? Where was I?
Angry people that don't have a sense of humor. Cultures that should but don't.
Yes.
And every time you meet a foreign person,
I always want to get some slang from that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they speak whatever.
So funny, yeah.
And I go, what is that? Give me, we got about 700 words for boobs, you know, jugs and knockers and watermelons. What do you guys got? We called the press. You know, it's like, what else you got? Just breast. It's like, you got some slang? Or no, it's just a breast. They get some word like, chichi. What's that mean? Breast. Aye. What else you got? Just chichi. Nothing else, because we got 45,000 names for breast. No. What about the penis? We got schwanz and dong and honker. We got them all. What do you got? That's it, Jen. What does that mean? That's penis. What else? Nothing. It's like, really, got nothing? No slang for the dork? No. Nothing? No. It's like, all right, now I know I can't hang with this culture. Well, what is that, Drew? They got nothing?
You're right.
That just means nothing. You go to England, they got 7,000 names for every body part.
Yep.
That's who you want to hang with. What is it with these cultures? No one's got a goddamn sense of humor? They got no slang words for the penis?
Something about the English language.
No, it's something about them. They're idiots.
They're going to my pecker.
They don't have a sense of humor. You got to speak English to have a sense of humor?
You're right. The Australians have, they've added to it. They're even funnier.
We got started with all the stuff.
The Irish.
The English took it further than the Aussies and then the Irish. Where's all the non-English speaking people and their sense of goddamn humor? That's why they're all they do. They're just miserable and they fight all the time. They got nothing.
They can't laugh at different names for their genitalia.
They can't laugh at anything. All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hal Sparks is going to be in here tomorrow night from Queer's Folk. And I have not seen the show, Drew, because it has the word queer and folk in it.
You don't like either word?
No.
Huh.
I wouldn't see folk as folk.
As is okay, though.
Well, that's where you're wrong. Okay. Yeah, I like as. I just don't like the queer and the folk one. Or folk. It's like calk.
Yeah.
People leave the
calk.
L. Yeah. People leave the L out of the calk.
Yeah.
And I always think it'd be something where you'd add the L even if it wasn't in there.
Yeah.
You just got the cock.
Folk is like F-O-W-K.
Yeah. All right, babe. Let's roll here, baby doll.
Here's something about shoelaces.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah, man.
What's up, brother?
Not much. Me and my friends, we all like skate and stuff, and we got these shoes. They're called, like, I Wear Osiris's.
Yeah, no.
And they got, like, good shoelaces, and they give you an extra pack for, like, more shoelaces, too. They give you, like, two different pairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they even have, like, a pouch under the lip you can put your shoelaces in for extra.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that was the point.
I'm really not looking for more lace or place to put my lace. I'm
just
looking
right
for
length.
a shorter,
an appropriate length for the shoe.
Yeah, but thanks, Mike. I mean, went off in this jag at the top of the show, which is I don't have a pair of tennis shoes where I don't have to do something with the excess lace after I've tied my bow.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to pull the bow real wide to make into a novelty size bow and then double knot it. But something needs to be done. If you tie the bow you want to tie, you got 5 inches extra lace
flopping
around.
You're falling over your lace.
Right. Yeah, it comes untied very quickly. And I'm thinking to myself, here's the thing about this shoe. Who's putting this? What scenario is someone using this? How?
Yeah, what are they trying to accomplish by giving you all the extra lace? Are they saving a lot of money?
And
one length fits all? No.
But here's the thing, too. If it's a set of suspenders or something, you go, well, look, you just make it long and you make it stretchy.
Yeah.
And who knows if the guy's 5'1 or 6'1 or 7'1. But this is the kind of thing where... You know the guy's foot isn't wider than it is long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can pretty much tell that if the shoe is a regular shoe, it's not an ultra extra wide or anything, and it's a size 11, pretty much narrow it down as to how much lace you're going to need, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's...
And buy for that one for the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah,
all the same, right?
Yeah. I've got to talk to somebody.
Hello.
And hold on a second.
Oh, boy.
Listen, who's Brian? I don't want to talk to young 15-year-old goofball stoner skaters who are telling me that their shoes come with extra laces. Thank you. Does that help?
No. It was not useful.
Yeah, if here's a guy who knows nothing about anything. So, go ahead, Tina.
Hi.
What's up, baby?
I have a question about orgasms after the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that happens to your body that makes it more difficult to achieve orgasm?
Sometimes, and really commonly for the first 6 to 12 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it common to last longer than 12 months?
No, not in my experience.
Okay.
Why, how long have you held your child?
Older than 12 months, he'll be 5.
And is he your only child?
No, I have an older child. I have a 7-year-old also.
And you had nothing before the 7-year-old? Or
no,
after the 7-year-old?
No, I thought sex was just fine, and then recently heard about something in your body that, you know, just changes after you have a baby. I'm thinking, well, maybe that's my case.
What are you down to now? What's happening?
Well, I don't, you know, it's just my orgasms aren't nearly as intense.
Yeah.
And they're not as frequent. And nothing's changed in our sex life. I mean, it's very good. I mean, except for that fact that I can't come.
crazy mama.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Yeah, you'd be too, is what she said.
What about oral sex?
What about it?
Does that work for you?
I love it.
You do?
I mean, but I can't come.
You can't.
I do sometimes, like less than 50%, but I remember...
Hold on a second. That's not... I mean, it's like saying, I like baseball, but I can't get a hit. I probably only bat 400.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Less than 50%, and not the world's greatest average, but...
Well, maybe they're down to once a month or something.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
But, I mean, that's not coming.
Unless they're very... How often are you guys having sex?
We have sex 4 or 5 times a week.
All right. And right. Half the time you're having orgasms.
Right. So maybe twice a week, maybe.
Well, that's...
And they're not as intense as they used to be. I mean, before they were, you know... peel me off the ceiling, and now it's just like, oh.
Maybe not as crazy as you were before.
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong, you're still nuts, but maybe you were just super nuts a few years ago.
I'm more insane now.
Really?
Two kids, yeah.
You do sound a little nutty. What's going on?
I do?
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah, you get that, Drew?
Yeah.
Whenever you... Here's all I'm saying. Whenever you get that breathy thing going with chicks...
Yeah, and that crazy laugh.
It's a combination between hot and nutty.
Yeah.
That's naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the... Tina?
Are you on medication, Tina?
No, I'm just laughing about what you just said about me.
No medication, right?
No medication.
And any medical problems?
No.
Anything, any problems with the pregnancy or the delivery?
It was a horrible pregnancy, a horrible delivery.
What happened?
I was sick the entire time.
With what?
Just sick. Just felt like hell.
I mean, vomiting the whole time.
Just felt really awful. Felt.
But you had no specific problem, no clamps here, preeclampsia.
I had food poisoning in my 8th month.
Yeah.
And was admitted into the hospital.
And what was wrong with the delivery?
Horrible. Lasted 2 days. It was induced, and then they pretty much just ripped me open to get him out because he was extremely large.
You had a cesarean section.
No. They didn't, no.
So you tore during your delivery?
Very much so.
Did you have a tear through the rectum?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Over
10 pounds.
That's the Panama Canal there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you just connect the two oceans there,
yes,
right?
Yes, the vagina, the septum there is just flapping.
Sea of vaginae and the sea of anally.
Yes, it's a vagina. Vaginus at that point.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
The Caspian Sea.
The Caspian.
Caspian Sea and the. Okay.
Yeah, it's a vaginus.
Well, Tina's been through a little bit of trauma.
Listen, I'm getting there. Let me get to it here. So, Tina,
yes.
Have you had pain with intercourse?
No.
And they sewed you up and healed normally?
Well, within months and months, but yes.
Yeah, so you were sort of off your game for a while there with that. Were you depressed after the delivery?
No more than I think normal.
Are you getting more depressed?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm always a little depressed.
All right, so I'd sort of add it all up to, first of all, you had trauma to your pelvis, and the whole pelvic area was ripped apart, and that can cause some problems. You're now a mother, and that has certain psychological meaning. You have the stress of raising kids, and that's profound. You have the incredible biological changes of two pregnancies, and you're chronically depressed or dysthymic. All that can add up to, a little decrease in your sex drive and orgasmic function.
And she's having orgasms.
Yeah, and you're having them twice a week, which is way above the average anyway.
But, Tina, you sound a little nutty, so maybe you should go to the shrink or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you're depressed all the time, that's not good for your kids. It's not normal.
You got a little crazy in your voice.
Would you please?
Well, that's just what I hear.
That's very strange you say that, but thank you.
Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I just hear a little nutty in there. That's
really?
All. Yeah, you must know that.
Well, no, it's interesting that you say that after, listening to me talk for 3 minutes.
I just get the nutty vibe from you.
Is he wrong?
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It's just interesting that you say that after talking to me for 3 minutes.
Well,
I knew it after a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I sound crazy?
We hear stuff in people. And
yeah.
It's really?
We're just sitting here studying.
And tone,
yeah.
And that's all.
It's really,
all we
it's,
have.
I really think ultimately it's how you make us feel that
yes.
we read.
That's it. That's it.
And then how you compare to other people we talk to, too. We talk to so many every night.
And people always say, well, how can you say that? You don't know this person. And it's like, that's how we can say it. It's actually easier.
Yeah.
It's faster.
It's also like looking at a polar bear who looks like you're going to hurt you. It's like, you don't know that polar bear.
Yeah, but you can see the posture.
You can sense it, yeah.
Yeah. All right. She sounded sort of fun nutty. And when she was talking about, peeling her off the ceiling sexually and that kind of I got that vibe, too. Like, she's went from an 11 sexually down to an 8.5, and she's disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
Arthur?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 26. What's going on?
26, nothing. I love you guys. I've listened to you since I started college, and now I'm finishing medical school up here in Chicago.
Great.
And I just had a question for Drew, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've respected your show since I can remember listening to it. And I just wondered how you got into it.
Oh, radio?
Into radio and into interacting with people on such a large scale.
It all came through radio, and it's one accident after another.
All right.
Adam will testify to that effect. I was asked when I was a third-year medical student to help out in a local program that was sort of ill-conceived and didn't know what they kind of wanted. They actually originally asked me to do a segment called Ask a Surgeon. They go, hey, you use big words. It'll be hysterical. I thought, I was not interested. I had to be sort of convinced that it was a good thing. Make a long story short, I finally went up and sort of observed what was going on. I was sort of blown away by the opportunity that radio provides.
Yeah.
And there's no one sort of just, at that point, there was no one just kind of answering questions.
Right.
And that was pre-AIDS, pre-safe sex, pre-a lot of things. And I just thought it was important to give people information, young people information that they needed. Just to have, and I was a young person. I was your age. I was younger than you when I started. And just to have another young person say, hey, this is this information. It's pretty easy to understand. And back then, things were called venereal diseases.
Right.
And condoms were behind the counter. You had to ask the pharmacist to bring them out.
Really?
For you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome that, you know, I see all these patients in the past 2 years, and I see almost no one between the ages of, like, 14 and 25.
Yeah, they don't. That's the other thing. That was,
you guys have, like, such an awesome forum just to talk to all of them.
Well, that's thank you. And that's one of the things that sort of got me. I felt the same way as you. And there's sort of a resistance or a fear to come into physicians. And my thing was like, hey, well, I'm one, too. I'm just a doctor. This is how we see things. Don't be afraid to come in, A. And B, adolescence really is the launching pad that establishes the trajectories of life.
Right.
And you can sort of adjust those trajectories a little bit in one direction or another, and poof, it falls in the ocean, or it just heads up on a nice, even path. So I'm sort of fascinated with that idea.
Right. Well, I don't know.
What are you going to study? What are you going into?
I'm going into family practice.
That's good.
Yeah. So I faxed you a letter to your office just to see if I could follow you around there for a while, but I don't know if you got it.
Well,
Drew wipes his ass with fan mail, unless there's a check. You got to put a check in there.
What's that?
If there's a check in there, he'll take a look at it.
You couldn't fax it. I couldn't fax a check. I don't know. It doesn't have the address on the AMA site.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, did you get this letter?
No, I'll have to look into it, see what's going on.
Oh, because I talked to your secretary. She said it was on your desk.
All right. Well, I'll go look at my desk. Stack of other stuff on there.
It's on his desk. Oh. I'm trying to think of what percentage of my own mail I actually look at.
Mm.
You know, I don't like the open mail too much, but that once in a while I get that very important and urgent message.
Yeah.
I don't like that boy who cried wolf through the mail.
Right, those always disappoint.
Yeah, this
those
is an urgent message for, and here's my whole thing. Is it really sort of moral or legal to toss around the word urgent when it's not? Like, doesn't that screw it up for the actual urgent mail? This is like, it's urgent mail for Mr. Carroll. And I open it up. It's like, timeshare in Florida. You can get a free 13-inch color TV just by walking out to Florida. It's like, really? That's urgent? Now, next time I get something that's urgent, I'm throwing it away.
Mm. Because of their urgent mail.
That's right.
Ironically.
Ironically, just to show them. All right, let's take ourselves a break. Drew, did you get your that check from Dawson's Creek recently?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what that was. That our per diem?
I think it was per diem. But see, when you do stuff, kiddies, and you go out on the road, by law, they have to give you a per diem. That is per day. That means per day, and they give you some what I like to call wham, a little walking around money. If you like
wham.
Like do a little boozing or a little whoring in the town you're in, you got a little. Wham!
That's right. You don't call it Jack.
That's later. I'll use some of the wham money to get the Jack. But the point is when we did Dawson's Creek, they didn't give us any of that wham.
Right. They said they needed our something.
They didn't give us our per diem. Yeah. And then a few weeks later, we got a check in the mail for our per diem. And to me, and I'm no student of language, but per day doesn't mean. Bunch it up and send it to you a month later at home. Doesn't that sort of nullify the whole per diem?
Yeah.
Isn't the whole thought behind the per diem? Yeah. All right.
The crank kickers do it. They hand you cash.
Yeah. I think you have to give cash.
Really?
Well, you can't give the person a check. Where are they going to cash it?
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea is you go out and do something on the road, they give you $50 a day or $40 a day or $60 a day.
Why would they be taxable otherwise?
So you can walk around and have something in your pocket when you're not around your bank or your checkbook or whatever it is. If they give you a check, what are you going to do with it in North Carolina?
Mm.
All right. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty there, Drew. You're in here.
Yeah.
You're in. Say hello. Lakeisha?
Yes.
What's up?
Nothing much. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
I have a question. I just started talking to this guy about 2 weeks ago,
and like I'm really interested in him, and I don't want to like move things too fast. And he's a virgin.
Mm. How old is he?
He is 19.
Mm-hmm.
What are you're not a virgin?
No, I've been with one person.
Oh, that's pretty good. You know, there's a Blood, Sweat, and Tears song called Lakeisha McEvil. You ever hear that song?
No, I've never heard it.
No, no, don't do it.
Lakeisha McEvil, tell me where you've been all night. Ba-dum-ba, ba-dum-ba, da-da-da. Your hair's all messed up, babe, and the clothes you're wearing just don't fit you right. Tail shaking, home breaking. Oh, it's a hot number. But I think it's like Lakeisha. Yeah, I guess see how it's spelled. Anyway, never, no one played that for you, huh?
No, sorry.
Okay.
So, what's the question now?
I just want to know, like, because I'm really into him, and, like, I really, like, want to, like...
Be with him.
Yes, and, like, but I don't want, like, this relationship to, like, end or anything, because I'm really, like, interested in him.
Wait, what would your pushing to be with him cause it to end? Why would that?
Because I don't want to push him too far, like, sexually. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that doesn't work with guys.
It might with this guy, though. Is he a religious guy?
Mildly, like, well, partially. Like,
What's caused him to delay his...
ejaculation.
Yeah.
Well, one of his friends had a kid. And so, like, I don't know. He said that's a big part of it. And, like, his family's really religious and everything.
All right, well,
like,
that's what happened.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've had a limited sexual time yourself. You say he's a year younger than you are?
No, not a year younger. Well, actually, I'm 19. I'll be 20 in September. But he's like 5 months older than me.
Oh, okay. He's 19. It's just the screen says you're 20. That's why.
Well, I always say that because.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. Oh, smoke alarm.
Is that smoke alarm in the background?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
How long has that been going off?
Not too long. I took it out of the hallway earlier because I burnt up some food, so.
Yeah, but okay. But that's the low battery thing, right?
Yes, it is.
So why take it down? It wasn't going to go off anyway.
Actually, it did, and I just kind of, like, stuck it on my dresser, and I haven't moved it. So.
I see. So 6 months ago, you took it down the hall.
You got to pull that little 9-volt battery out of there.
Let's
it's
save
not
somebody.
Not bothering me yet. I haven't slept in the room.
Let's save somebody from this. Oh,
there it goes again. Yeah, and she's on our normal smoke delay chirp, which is like 32 seconds.
Yeah, every time it goes now, it like sends electric currents up my spine.
If it comes, go ahead.
Well, no, I've only been home, like, I just got home from work like an hour ago. So.
Why don't we save somebody? Why don't we make her go in there and pull the battery out? It's not on the ceiling.
Hold
on.
It's coming.
Shh.
The hell is it?
Maybe it's all screwed up. It's variable.
Hold on. There it is. Lucretia McEvil. What's your game? Turn this up. Come on now. Hard luck and trouble. About to be your fame to fame. Shaking, home breaking. Yeah, this is a trouble woman. Trucking through a town. Sun hanging round. Never done a thing worthwhile. Evil woman, child. Where the hell did you get Lucretia McEvil?
Punctuated on both sides.
That is a hot tune.
All right, before we hang up on Lakeisha, we got to get that battery out of your smoke alarm. Go get the smoke detector right now. Go get it. We'll wait for you.
Let's hear some Blood, Sweat, and Tears while we're waiting.
Yeah,
too,
go get it. Just go get it.
Little girl, what's your game? Little girl. I don't want to dig for it right now.
You don't want to dig for it? It's not
no,
like...
Well, because when I was getting ready for work, I was in a hurry, and I kind of like threw everything.
Shaking, home breaking, trucking through town, each and every son and mother, I'm hanging around, never done a thing worthwhile. Evil,
evil, that's your name. Yes, but did they have 20 horns in that band? Listen to that.
Listen, I love Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You're doing fine. Backseat Delilah. They really used to know how to write a song about a woman back in the day. None of that hoe and bitch crap.
Backseat Delight.
Nothing that your daddy wouldn't do for kicks.
Oh.
Your mama was the talk of the sticks.
So what are we going to do? We're going to let her...
I don't know. I'm so caught up in Lucretia McEvil now, I can't concentrate.
She does not have to worry about this guy. She's not going to push him away by being sexually provocative.
Yeah, don't come on too strong. Don't freak him out.
Don't violate things that are important of a value to him. If he needs to maintain his virginity, it's important to him, and that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Drew, do you really know that song?
Yeah.
Okay, good boy.
I a lot of Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Good man. Good horn section.
That was a white album with a lot of... Right?
Calm down.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
What you going to do?
Boom! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hal Sparks from Queers Folk will be in here tomorrow night.
This contrasts against the Blood, Sweat, and Tears a little bit.
Queers Kalk?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Anderson. I was just rocking out to Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Makes you smile, that music.
Yeah, well, good. Big horn section and a big voice out in front of the band. And let's put a little Go Down Gambling on there. I just want to hear a little in the background. It makes me happy. I'll talk to the callers. I just want to hear a little Go Down Gambling. And then when the big horns kick in, we're going to need to just lift up. It's cut three, I think, on the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll talk to the callers. Just keep it low in the back. But wait, crank it up a lot. Got a little horn section. See, they used to write songs about gambling, kids, and evil women, and liking them to cats and devils.
And, yeah, Delilah.
That's when they're writing important songs. All right, let me just hear a little of this song. Oh. Come on. He's talking about blackjack. But I just want to hear the horns here. Just turn up a little here. So. Go down gambling! We'll get to the horn section later on.
See, Adam always had a wish to be in the band, and now that he's got the radio at his disposal, he can sort of live that out by playing other people's music and singing along to it.
Kevin.
Yeah.
You're 18.
I am.
You into Blood, Sweat, and Tears at all, brother?
I'm not, and I'm sorry.
All right, what's happening? What's your prom?
Okay. So I've been dating this girl for a little bit over 2 months, and recently she said that she likes to get spanked.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of having a problem with that. Like, my parents always taught me that you just do not lay your hands on a girl, like, mm-hmm. that way. She really likes it, but I can't get over the fact that it just, I don't know, it just feels abusive to me, and I don't know what to do.
He's picking up some momentum mm-hmm. there. He's picking up momentum.
All right, hold on a second. We're going to... It's a natural gambler, but I try to do myself. This is better than any of our calls. Go down gambling. It's an important song about gambling.
All right, so Kevin's just full of ass.
You don't believe him?
Not for a second.
Even through the blood, sweat, and tears,
you
didn't believe him?
There's no question there. What's the question? My mommy and daddy told me I never raise a hand to a girl, so I can't...
Yeah.
Pat her behind.
Yeah, that was BS.
Yeah.
Kevin, that's BS. Come on.
Well, no. It's not that I can't. It's just I feel bad when I do it.
Hey, you give her a little love tap if you're not hurting her. It's what she likes. It's fine.
All right.
See, it's bogus.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's bring it up a little here now. Let's just have a little more blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah, this is true. You were banging your head to this. What were you, 15?
We didn't bang heads.
Well, how old were you? No, we're just getting to the good part.
What was that going
to
be?
How old were you when this came out?
12.
12?
Yeah, perfect.
You were digging it?
12, 13, yeah. Probably got my hands on it.
All right, but here comes the horns. And this is the part I like most about Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Let's crank it up here, I said.
It was last checked out in 1990.
Oh.
I wish we had television
cameras. Go down gambling!
Adam is playing the air drums like you've never seen.
Well, it's an important song about gambling,
oh,
bro.
Oh, my God. I wish we had cameras in here. Oh, my
all
God.
Right, listen, I know your kids like to bang your head and all that kind of stuff, but these guys could blow their instruments, you know what I'm saying?
Headbang. What did we do? We sort of rocked out.
All right, we'll get to our next call. We just got to wait till the song is.
Go down, gambling. Hey, you may never have to go, no.
Well, you know, I think I have a new feature on the show.
All right.
You and I just start pulling out songs from the 70s with big horn sounds that we like. I got one for you. I'll pull some stuff out.
All right, Drew. Right. You bring your song.
Yeah.
Sounds horrible. Don't do that, guys.
Josh?
What? Yeah.
It sounds horrible?
Drew's Big Horn from the 70s Retro Hour, everybody.
Yeah.
Josh?
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with my girlfriend for 2 years now, and just for the last 2 months, she starts to cry after sex, and it's really kind of weird. I don't know what's up with that or whatever.
You've been having sex with her for how long?
2 years, and it's just the last 2 months, she cries after sex.
Have you asked?
Not a look of total satisfaction, you know, it's like...
No satisfaction, Adam.
She can't get no satisfaction? That's a Stone song.
She says she's coming a lot, and then...
Can't
tears
get
porn on her eyes.
Satisfaction. Josh, do you ask her why she's crying?
She says because she loves me so much, but that's just so hard to believe.
Why? Why is it hard to believe?
Well, you've talked to Josh.
I mean, would you cry after having sex? I mean, would it? You know.
Well, women do.
I would. Yeah.
Women do that
I
when
would
they
break down.
Occasionally, when they feel a real, like, sort of overwhelming, it's sort of an overwhelming release that they experience, and yeah, they will cry sometimes afterwards. But in my experience, more often than not, when they start crying late in a relationship like this, it's because they realize they're not having feelings.
Well,
and things are sort of incongruous.
And oftentimes, the emotification of
the satisfaction
and the emotionification of a woman's be very powerful occasion for him. Josh?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
Construction.
Yeah. What part of construction?
What part? I'm a laborer. I'm a grunt.
Really? Just hauling trash? What are they paying an hour for a laborer these days?
$8 an hour to 15, depends where you are. I live in Silverdale, so it's $8 an hour.
You're just smart enough to live in the $8 an hour region?
No, I dropped out of school.
All right, buddy. We got to learn a trade, you know?
Oh, I do, I know. I'm a musician.
Oh.
That's not going to get me anywhere.
No, that's not a trade.
No, it's not.
That's a hobby. But if you can cover some Blood, Sweat, and Tears songs, that'd be something.
Hey, Adam,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
What's up with that last guy with the spanking ass thing? He didn't like to do that. I didn't get that. That guy's kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
Josh is even worse.
Yeah. Josh and most of his spankification. You see what happens? We're enjoying some good 33-year-old music, and then it gets loused up with some jackass callers. Mm. Having a good time here. Rebecca?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
I wanted to know what y'all's take on nipple piercing is.
Well,
and what are the risks?
Well,
y'all.
All right, y'all. Here's the thing. I have not met a guy who says he's turned on by it.
I have, but I think those guys don't need it.
Well, no,
that's a good point, Drew, and I was going to correct myself, which is I have met guys who think it's sort of hot, a rare guy who thinks it's sort of hot, but it certainly is not a deal breaker if she is not pierced.
Right.
And it can be a deal breaker for certain guys if she is pierced.
That's right.
And so it doesn't really get you anywhere.
And I've seen horrible complications now. I mean, and it's been around long enough that we're starting to see people that get these abscesses and infections and flesh-eating bacteria and draining sinuses. It's just a mess. I've seen a lot of unhappy women with those things.
But I see a chick with pierced nipples, and I see someone's a little bit screwed up, usually.
Well, my friend is like, because she's not that much developed as I am, and she said that it would look good if I had my nipples pierced because I have big boobs. And I was like...
Boobs?
Yeah, and then I've
You got the big boobs?
Boobs, y'all.
What?
You got a big boobs?
I have big boobs.
Boobs? Drew's having a good time tonight. What size are you?
36C.
36C. Yeah, well, like I said, it might look better on big boobs than it does on small boobs, but I, again, first off, guy can't tell until the shirt's off, right? So it's not like...
Well, I constantly have my shirt off, so...
You do?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I always flash guys and stuff.
Really?
What does that do for you?
15.
Because, like, I don't know, because life seems boring as it is, so, you know, just livening up a little.
All right, well, now give me a different answer. What does it do for you? I'm really curious. What does that make you feel more powerful or more...
Well, she's not going to be able to articulate.
Maybe.
I don't know, it just... It's just fun, you know?
It's fun.
Like adrenaline rush or whatever.
Get some attention, right?
I'm an attention whore, so.
Okay. Do you do a lot of drugs and alcohol? Drink a lot?
Bacardi.
Yeah.
That's just, I suppose, right?
This all just alcoholic behavior. Yeah. Your dad an alcoholic?
No.
Mom?
Actually, none of my parents drink. My dad's a pastor.
Ooh.
Always ironic. All right. Hey, Rebecca.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Nothing wrong with being a screwball, having some fun, and all that kind of stuff. The piercings and the tats at 15, probably not a great idea.
And if this is some sort of payback to Dad, don't take it out on yourself.
Well,
the flashing will put him in his grave soon enough.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with... Look, you're talking to the right guy when it comes to this kind of stuff, because I've done endless hours of jack-off, literal and figurative behavior, but this is not going to get you anywhere, Rebecca.
Well, it kind of is a payback to my dad, because I, like, really hate my dad.
Yeah, we get that loud and clear.
I had some problems in the past, and he asked me not to press charges on the guy, because it's my uncle.
His brother?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but here's the real payback. What's that?
I'm not hillbillyish. I'm Hispanic.
Yeah. plenty of that weird molestation stuff in that culture.
Yeah, that was my uncle.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Now we got the right music. Hey, Rebecca. Here's the ultimate payback for your parents. You do what I do. You work.
Get a
hard,
radio show.
You get out of school. You go off. You make a lot of money, and then you just pull up in a big Jag every day.
And the ultimate payoff.
And you humiliate them
on
the
national
radio.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what you do. You understand?
Hmm.
And you sit there and watch them squirm when they're begging for money.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Jump through this hoop, you dog. That's what I do. You want some money? You haven't earned it. That's right.
And you get everybody dependent on you.
Yeah.
Let them use your house, lease them cars, give them TVs.
Yeah. And then
you start threatening them.
Then they take it all away. It's all going to go away.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Let's, had a nice talk with my grandma the other week about how she hates the industry.
Oh, yeah.
She can't.
But That was since the conversation you had when you realized that you were in the industry.
Yeah.
You had another one?
Another one where she said, "Those bastards in the industry." I said, "You know, I'm in the industry." Yeah, those people. And then when they give it to you, then they take it all away. And it's like, not really. And then I had to give her a little pep talk on cable, too. The whole cable thing does not work with old people.
Mm.
You know, she was talking about Bill Maher, and I'm like, "Yeah, well, he's on TV, he's on cable." "Well, yeah, he's on cable," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm on cable too." And I had to, you know, here's the whole thing about old people that young people hear about new things and they're eager to get involved
right away,
with it.
Yeah.
Old people want to sort of brush it off and pretend it doesn't exist.
Yes.
And then if you're doing it, it doesn't really exist.
It's not in their universe. It doesn't exist. Yeah, you're not on the Jack Parr show, so what the hell?
I know, like, you weren't on the Sullivan show in 63. You're not an actual celebrity. It's strange. It's just, if you don't have cable and you're old, whatever's on cable does not exist. And I had to explain to her the concept of, you know, The Sopranos and Six Feet Under and other shows
like this.
Was
she aware of those things?
Yeah, she'd heard of the Sopranos and the Osbournes, and these shows where people were successful and made lots of money and were recognized, and it was sort of like, yeah, but are you on either one of those shows?
Oh.
No, she didn't say that. No, she knows them big time.
Yeah.
Well, she had cable, she'd know. All right. Well, it's not break time yet. Just felt like it was time to take a break. Maybe I'm going to hear some more blood, sweat, and tears. Annette?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, what's going on is I've been with my boyfriend 2 years now, and his parents, I guess they don't want him to have a girlfriend. He's 21 now. We met when he was 19.
You were 25.
Yeah. But I don't look it. I look younger. He looks older.
What do they mean his family doesn't want him to have a girlfriend?
They don't want him, like, being in a relationship. That's what they're saying now.
That's...
They're saying he shouldn't date till he's, like, 35.
Do you want to interpret that for them, Adam?
They're saying he doesn't want to be in a relationship is, like, when you're not attracted to somebody.
Exactly.
That's what his parents tell him he shouldn't be in one. We've been together 2 years now.
No, you're missing the point.
They don't like you.
Right.
Exactly. They say it's not me. They just don't want to be with any girl.
Well, that's BS.
But that's
exactly. Last year they kicked
you.
Him out because he was with me, and we went out of state, and we came back, and they thought I was still out of state. I guess we've been together all this time.
All right. So what would it be about you that might upset them?
Because I'm older. I'm 6 years older than him, and I'm Hispanic. I guess maybe. I don't really know.
Maybe. Do you have any kids?
No, I don't. I don't have kids. I have a job. I went to college.
What does he do?
What happened? He's independent. He has a recording studio he's running. He's going to school. He has a different, like, properties he's running out. He's
all right. Well, now, hold on a second. Now we got to figure out his nationality.
He's Italian.
It's not normally one of the troublemaking races.
He's a really good kid. I guess he's an only child, so maybe that might
be true.
It.
Sometimes the Italian mom is going to be a pain in the ass.
That's his mom's the one telling him that I could be a friend to him, but she doesn't want me as a girlfriend. But what happened is we think someone got in there and talked to him and basically badmouthed me. So she's saying, oh, she's nuts, she's this, she's that. But she's never given me the time to really get to know me.
All right, well, hold on a second. All right, let me talk to Drew for a second while you listen. And then we come back and pretend like you didn't hear what I said.
Yeah.
Annette does sound a little nutty.
This is one of those situations where, like, the numbers aren't matching and the history and socioeconomic brackets aren't matching up and stuff.
Yeah.
And the family's uptight about this. Because it's the only son, they wanted to go a specific way, and someone's like, screw that, he likes this girl.
But Annette she's got some energy to her.
Yeah. But it may not be bad.
But what's the part where people got in there and talked bad about I always like when people, she thinks she's a Madonna or something, someone from someone else's camp came in and started talking, no one cares about you, please.
Well, but his parents.
No, his parents called his cell phone, and talked to a girl that wanted to be with him, and she knew me, and that's where the bad drama came from.
No.
I understand that, but tell us some bad things about yourself anyway.
About myself?
Yeah.
I'm older. I don't have a car right now. That's about it. My mom passed away a year ago, and I just moved back to California.
Who would they like him to be with?
Basically, probably someone his age, typical, like, blonde hair, blue eyes, driving a BMW in the Hollywood Hills.
Hold on.
I'm from the other side of the tracks, so basically what they're saying.
That's what I was saying.
Why don't you have a car?
Because my car, I took it out of state, and my dad didn't. It's in the snow, and he didn't turn the engine. It froze over, so now I'm getting ready to buy a new Dodge in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Well, I had a family emergency.
All right, here's what I'm saying, though. I'm talking about a 27-year-old who's living in North Hollywood, basically, the Los Angeles in the valley, doesn't have a car because it froze in a snowbank. I'm picking up some chaos.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
With her. Annette?
Uh-huh.
You ever done any time?
No, I haven't.
No? Ever?
Nope.
No drugs?
No.
No problems with that stuff?
Posing.
Nope. You done a little, like, internet porn or anything?
Nope.
Anything like
all
that?
I have is a tattoo.
You got a tat?
Yeah.
Your little...
Small one on my tailbone, but that's it.
You had...
The thing is, they just don't want him with anyone. They don't even like his friends. They just want him at home with them.
All right, there's elements of that. Yeah. I'm going to split this one down the middle. These two are a pain in the ass.
The family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But
that's what he's trying to figure out. What should he do? Because he feels kind of like...
Let's tell him to screw off. Why is he living at home?
I don't know.
Well, yeah. You say he's
I don't know, you know what I mean?
Hold on. You say he's, you know, successful. He runs a recording studio. Yeah. He has properties. Why doesn't he move out?
He's been trying to get up to that, you know what I mean? But it's like he's going good with his family. Now, all of a sudden, they're just, like, wigging out because they want back in the
picture. Annette, you're not really understanding what's going on here. He is dependent and enmeshed with his family.
Correct.
And anything they want, he feels sort of under the spell of their intrusive needs.
Yeah.
And they, because he's the only son, are going to, everything has to go perfect and their idea of perfect.
Correct.
He has chosen you. You're fine. You're great. You're a lot of fun. He really likes you, but you're not perfect. And that's what he wants. That's fine. That's fine. But he needs to get out from under this family and start thinking for himself a little bit, because the family is not going to accept you and not going to change because you don't fit. Like you said, they want somebody who's got a career, went to graduate school,
whose car's not frozen in a snowbank in Denver.
They have the perfect person.
That's right.
All right, but
he doesn't want that.
Till 35, don't get married till 40.
Whatever. He doesn't want that.
All right. Exactly.
All right, but anyway, don't get too caught up on the age thing.
You're not going to
win these people over. If he's in love with you, your love will prevail.
Of course.
Oh, can you imagine your parents getting hold of your cell phone receipt or bill and calling like numbers on it and then talking to some? But believe me, Annette over here, she's got a tat on her ass and her car's frozen in Denver. Believe me, there's something a little crazy with her.
But that's what this guy, look at what he's been dealing with.
Yeah.
He needs this now.
All right. Well, good times.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we got to take a break. I got to go pick out another Blood, Sweat, and Tears song. That's energized me, Drew.
Right.
I'm a new man. You make me so very happy. Hold on, let's hear a little more. I've lost in love before. Got mad and closed the door. All right. I will, we'll be right back. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew.
Badfinger was the horns.
Badfinger's got some good songs. No, I hate this song, you gotta change it now.
Who's this?
You had to turn up. It's Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Oh, yeah.
This is every time, they always put that album where the other guy wants to sing, and it never works out.
Right.
It's like, hey, dude, I wrote a song.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of the lead. Yeah, I thought it'd be cool if I sung a song.
This is all sort of the Beatles.
They always end up letting Ringo sing a song, and you get the Yellow Submarine. Right. You don't get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Just let the lead singer sing. Jen?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm really nervous talking to you about this. I've never told anybody before.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I was 12 years old, my dad moved us into a house that belonged to his best friend. And a few years later, my mom ran off with the best friend. Uh-huh. And before that happened, on three different occasions between the ages of 12 and 15, he tried to sleep with me.
How old was this guy?
I don't know, in his 40s or 30s.
Okay. Between the age of 12 and how old?
15.
Did he succeed?
No.
All right.
And what would he do, creep into your room at night?
Yeah.
And how did you get him to stop?
I would get upset and I would start yelling. I would scream at him. And
there was no one there. God bless you, Jen.
Good. And no one else would wake up? Or I'm guessing this was a small house.
Well, he's like a big sociopath, and he kind of talked. He would call my dad when I wouldn't know it, and he would tell him that I was spending the night at his house, and we were out shopping, and then he'd take me back to his house and say, oh, well, it's too late for me to drive you home.
Okay, but hold on a second. I thought you guys were living at his house.
We were living at a house that he owned. We were renting a house from him.
But then mom ran off.
Okay, so he wasn't.
He wasn't living in the house that we
were. Okay, that's a small detail when you say we moved in with my dad's friend.
I'm sorry.
He wasn't in the house that you moved into. Okay, but then there were times when you would sleep in the same house with him.
after your mom ran off with him.
That only happened.
No, I think this is before mom ran off.
Right. Yeah. And well, he kicked us out of the house, and it was really abrupt, and he threatened to kill us, me and my dad. So we took off, and I try to.
This was your dad's good buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up with your dad?
Your dad's an idiot too.
Well, yes, he is. Yeah. He's a big idiot.
All right.
I'm trying to get away from that because the more I'm around him, the more I become an idiot.
Yeah. Right. Well, you sound like you got your head screwed on pretty straight.
Well, thank you. I'm 17 and I've been in college for a year.
Nice.
So.
Good.
In Palm Springs?
And the fact that, the fact that you're, what school they got in Palm Springs?
I'm trying to build a relationship
with Sonny Bono Junior College. You're trying to rebuild things with your mom, and she doesn't want it?
Or that side of the family, at least. And what she wants is for me to build a relationship with Robert, and I don't know how to explain to her that that happened.
Okay, listen.
Listen to me now. He told her to tell the family that I'm upset at him because my mom got him and I didn't.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, maybe.
So no matter what I say,
if your mother believes him and not you... Get away from your family. Get away from all of them.
Really?
You're going to college. Where are you living now?
I'm living with my dad. She says that he's her life.
Okay.
Well,
listen.
That's up to her. She's made her decision at that point.
It's like I'm not even a part of her
life. Okay, quiet down and listen to me for a second. Your mom is a...
World class.
Well, she's a bitch, and your dad's an asshole.
Yeah, but found two assholes.
Your mom was able to find two world-class a-holes, meaning...
she's white trash.
Yeah, she found... Your mom's white trash, too, and I'm sure her parents are white. Everyone's a mess over there at that family of yours.
Except
maybe you. Now, here's the only way you're going to be a mess. If you get caught up in their white trash ass spin cycle... And just start dancing with them and then get caught up in their whole mess, then you will just be sucked up into their crappy white trash vortex and never escape.
Right.
Here's what you need to do.
Get out of there.
And it's difficult. It's difficult. But here's what you need to do. These are effed up people who got effed with by their parents, who are screwed up, who have then in turn done their best to try to screw you up, but they have not succeeded. You will go to college. You will move out. You will become independent. You will not hook up with other troublemakers. You will not crank out a bunch of kids. You'll not make the same mistakes they will. And when the dust settles, when you're on your own, when you got some money in your pocket, then you can think about talking to them and getting things squared away with them.
This is the big problem, is A, establishing a separate life for yourself with good boundaries, and then B, not being attracted to guys like your dad and your uncle.
Or whoever he was. Yeah. And look, don't be scared to write off your family temporarily. Put them on the back burner. And when I say back burner, I mean way back.
Behind the stove.
Yes, behind the stove.
And if your mom will not believe you in terms of coming to your aid and support for a profoundly traumatizing experience in your life, I can understand that she wouldn't want to reject, leave this guy necessarily, which, all right, that's bad enough. But then to completely ignore what you've been telling her is horrible.
Chicks can't do it. They can't do it, Drew.
They can't do what?
They can't take their family and just go, fuck, screw them.
Yeah.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get away from my family fast enough. I'm sure you felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You see them twice a year, that's plenty. When you were 17, 18,
oh boy,
you were done.
Ugh.
You couldn't go far enough away to college.
I went to the other seaboard.
Yeah, it'd be nice. They send you a couple bucks, a little wham every once in a while, but you didn't need to talk to them.
Mm.
That's for damn sure. Roselle?
Yes.
Or Rosalie?
Roselle.
What is it?
Oh, dude. Roselle.
All right.
All right.
All right, dude.
All right, dude. Oh, man, are you smoking the weed?
I have a question.
You're high as a kite.
No, that's not the weed lab. Is it?
What?
I think she's been smoking weed.
Oh, you do? No, I have a question.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. You smoking weed?
Am I smoking? No.
Huh?
No, I'm not.
You're high now.
Am I? No, I'm not.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Did you shut up, Jerome? Right. This close to cracking her. Are you high or not?
I'm not high.
When did you get high last?
A few days ago. Okay. Well, my question is, I'm 20.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have an orgasm. It's difficult. I mean, by myself, I can. But I don't go sleep with random guys, so it's not going to happen.
Wait,
like that.
You can when you masturbate.
Yes, yes, and I mean, it's strange, and I get frustrated because, you know, I mean, it's great, I can do it, but it gets frustrating. So
what gets frustrating?
That someone else just can't really do it.
And have you had a relationship?
Yes, I mean, yeah. I just got out of a 2-year.
And that guy couldn't.
That was fine after a while, but I usually had to help myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't just, you know.
That during intercourse you're able to
do it? Right, yeah.
All right, that's
what
better than average.
What about oral sex?
What about it? That hasn't happened. Not with oral.
So it's just you? She's not able to have an orgasm with oral.
But if you help yourself.
Right. Masturbation, like, I can do it fine
during,
on my own.
During intercourse.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and it's, I've wondered if maybe it's like a weird attachment or I'm not attached enough.
No, so this is
that's
just
pretty
somewhere.
Good.
That's
good.
Actually above average performance.
Right.
You're doing all right.
Yeah, it's like saying, I got a first grader who can do like a dismount off the uneven bars, do a double flip and a twist. Got to use the spotter.
Yeah.
Got to use the spotter. But it's like, yeah, that's still...
Yeah,
still ahead of the rest
fine.
Of the
yeah.
The first graders. She's got to spot her clit a little.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a little C-spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. And believe me, if I'm the guy who's humping her, well, that goes down in the book as a... I put a big O there.
That's a coup, too. You're like, hey, if you're helping...
She's taking care of business, yeah. But it goes down as an orgasm for me. I put that notch in the holster. See what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
But she still feels frustrated about that, though, I find amusing.
20 ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah.
Amy?
Yes?
You're 19?
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
What's up?
Ooh.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a sec.
Oh. We're going to gamble?
We got to do some gambling. We gotta,
oh, boy.
We got to go down gambling.
A, B, C, D.
You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I don't have any money.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have any money, Drew?
No.
Come on, buddy.
Spot me.
U-V-W-S-Y-D.
All right, so I'm gonna. All right, I got it.
What do you got?
No, I just got a plan.
You got,
I think
you got some money?
No, I will in the car.
I got nothing but I got nothing but tens.
Just put one down, and if I owe you one, I owe you one.
All right, don't get mad at me because you got no money.
All right, go.
What's her problem? I can't even see what her problem is.
She bleeds every time she.
Especially when she's turned on. I'm going to say babysitter Crowder.
Sexual abuse?
Sexual abuse. And there's some daddy in there, too. Babysitter.
All right. I get, like, abandonment at age 4.
Right.
Like, big-time abandonment. Like, maybe foster parents. Something. Abandonment.
Foster.
I mean, like, dad
yeah,
left.
Yeah, divorce not going to count.
No, it's like some sort of traumatic abandonment.
Amy?
Yes?
What's up?
I have this thing called polycystic ovary disorder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't have my periods. Mm-hmm. But for the past 4 months, I have been bleeding nonstop.
Well, that's PCO, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. That's you have anovulatory cycles, and these kinds of things happen real commonly.
What? Right. Well, now they can't stop me bleeding.
They will.
The only thing that has stopped me from bleeding is they had just recently given me estrogen to
mm-hmm,
take.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is called dysfunctional uterine bleeding. Have they checked your thyroid and all?
No.
Okay. They ought to check some blood work. Make sure you're not getting anemic. And
right.
And then, they will adjust. They can stop the bleeding with hormonal manipulation.
Okay,
but
they've given me something that, Provera, actually,
mm-hmm, yep.
And that didn't work.
I know. Then they go to estrogen, and then they may go to more estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see. They can turn it off. Don't worry.
All right. Let's talk about the past.
Okay.
Any abuse?
Sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. By who? The babysitter?
No, my father.
Damn.
I went to the dad, then I went back to the sitter again.
How old?
And I was 2.
2?
7.
2 to 7.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
I got early. I said 4.
All right, I felt early. Yeah. Oh, come on, genius. Of course.
But I wouldn't have said 2. I would not have said 2.
No.
That's crazy.
Was he babysitting you, technically? I mean.
No.
What, did your mom marry the babysitter?
No, my mom was kind of,
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she's seen some abuse in her day,
mm-hmm,
too.
Probably.
Did you get any therapy for this?
I've been in therapy my whole life.
You have?
Yes.
And where's your dad now?
I don't know. I don't. I was put in foster care.
Drew said foster care.
How old were you went to foster care?
Huh?
How old were you went to, when
I
you
was
went
seven.
To seven?
Mm-hmm. Drew's a little off. Don't slap your chest, King,
come on.
King Dong over
said
there. You got
care
nothing.
Age four.
I said foster care age four. I said sexual abuse. Come on,
we'll
buddy.
Split. All right, we'll split
it. We'll split it.
Hey. Mine's pretty good, though. We don't normally go to foster care.
Yeah, Drew said huge abandonment. So foster care at four, so you don't have any contact with your dad or your mom?
No, I don't.
Okay.
They severed up my
life. Good.
I have two sisters and a little brother that were also taken away from the home.
Hold on. Do these animals have to have four kids?
Yes.
These vermin known as human beings? Really, four? Really? Three, can't get by with two or three kids. Got to crank out four.
I have three older brothers that I've never met.
No,
seven?
I'd like to put a bullet in your mom's head.
I think so.
Yeah, I wonder what they're costing us.
Well, they're in jail.
And I was adopted at age nine.
Uh-huh.
Good.
How'd that go?
It went pretty good.
Good.
I was a wonderful family. They took very, very
good
care of me. My sister, my other little sister and brother were adopted into a different family.
Good families?
Huh?
Good families?
Good families. Very good families.
Do you still have relationships with your other siblings?
Yes, I do.
Great. Okay.
Good.
I was the oldest.
So things are kind of turning out.
What about the Dalton brothers, though? What about the older brothers?
I've never met them.
Yeah.
They were taken away from my biological parents.
Okay.
Long before I came.
So your biological mom had seven kids?
Yes.
Someone need to put a bullet in that bitch's head when she was 15.
Yeah, but she is Amy of the last generation.
All right, but good for you, Amy. Good. Fine. You're taking care of yourself.
Don't freak out about this bleeding. Polycystic ovarian disease is very common. It's kind of uncomfortable and can, lead to... It needs some special attention, but the dysfunctional uterine bleeding can be stopped. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Make sure you take some iron in the meantime.
Is every regulation in this goddamn country for cars and building codes? It's nothing against junkies cranking out seven kids, all of them having to be adopted, spread out, foster care. Just can't get involved with that.
There's
place for the law in that.
It's a newfound military-industrial complex to soak them all up now.
Who's that? Iraq? We'll just send them to Iraq and let them go rebuild Iraq? I do, it is funny that, and Drew, stop kicking the cord, you idiot, if you don't want the screen to go out. So tape that thing up there. We got to take a break. I got to listen more Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Ouch.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love this song. Yeah, it's a good song. All right, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's talk to Mercedes on line three.
Hello?
Mercedes.
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I just have, I guess you both can put your input in. I don't really know who it's for. Okay, my mom was in a recovery home as a patient, and she got... I guess a job. I don't know if they paid her. She was just like the house mom of another woman's recovery home after she got her 1-year chip.
Okay.
And they said she started acting funny, so they thought she was on Valium.
Okay.
And so they had her go take a drug test, and she came back with a positive for, I think it was Benzone. But my mom's bipolar, and so she takes like a lot of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering if the medications that she could be on would somehow make her come up positive for like a drug. That would get her kicked out of this place.
No, but she may have been given benzodiazepines and not known it. Like, for instance, they may have given... It's frequent for bipolar patients to get Klonopin. And Klonopin is a benzodiazepine, and it's a no-no if you're a recovering addict.
I got to get some of that. What's that do? Mel, you out?
Do you know what she's taking?
They give you a good Mel?
She said something about, niacin, Depakote, and...
Niacin.
The only two I really remember.
Okay, well, the Depakote's a mood stabilizer, but she may be on a benzo.
She said that she wasn't taking the Depakote because she had run out, and
she got
a new prescription of it, and so that's why she said that's why her behavior has been acting like really weird. But if she's like doing drugs again, she's just gonna say anything that's gonna make it okay.
That's true. She'll lie. Addicts lie all the time. But I think what you need to look at is whether or not she inadvertently, to her own you know, not without her really knowing it. Got prescribed.
Where is she now?
She's in a motel for about a week, and then she's going to go and stay with my grandma for a while.
Is she going to get? Are they going to let her go back to the recovery home?
They told her she had 30 minutes to get off the property, and they kicked her out. So I don't think so.
All right. Why don't you go check her medicine? She probably those sorts of things really don't happen. I mean, it's possible, but
30 minutes to get off the property.
Well, if they're an infecting agent at that point, they'll infect the other patients.
Really?
Yeah. It's in all likelihood she was taking something, but maybe she didn't know it. I mean, it may not have been a volitional thing.
Yeah, but what's with their attitude then? If they can't do the math on her prescription meds,
should they have like? Shouldn't the people have known already what she was taking?
Well, let me give you my layperson, but always right opinion here, Mercedes.
Okay.
I'm sure they knew the prescription drugs she was on, if that's the place she was employed.
I'm not really sure if she was employed. She was like the house mom.
Yeah, but
she was in an inpatient situation over there, wasn't she?
No.
Where was she getting her?
She was a patient at one, and then she got I'm not sure if it's a job, but she got like
she
had to go to another house.
Even when they're a patient in a recovery center like that, in a sober living, their medicines are kept in a box. No one knows what they are. They just trust the doctors to prescribe the right stuff. They trust the patients to tell the doctor not to give them addictive medicines. They do not supervise the medicine.
But then you test positive for something that a substance that could be part of the person's ritual.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be on anything that is addictive. They're supposed to tell their doctor, not give me benzodiazepines.
Right, but at that point, doesn't the person say, well, I'm taking this, I'm taking that?
She may not know. She may not have thought.
The fact that they said, we'll give you 30 minutes to pack your crap and get out of here.
Part of the problem is she was getting manicky because she wasn't taking her Depakote.
Okay. Listen, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Your mom is going to take you down with her if you get too caught up in her life, unfortunately.
Yeah,
go to Al-Anon. Mercedes, Al-Anon.
You got to go to Al-Anon.
You must go. You must get a sponsor. You must unload this on somebody.
Other than us.
Or you'll do things. Yeah. Or you'll do things that will impact adversely on her recovery.
And
okay?
Regardless of whether she's using or not, it's academic. You got to go to Al-Anon.
Do not rescue her. Let this play out.
I don't live with her. It's just
Mercedes.
I actually stopped talking to her for
Hey, shut up and go to Al-Anon.
Okay. That's what you got to do.
All right. Take care. My parents pulling this crap. I'll hire a drifter to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening,
you might do it anyway. Whether they pull anything.
Because my dad's car lease is coming up, and I don't want to get him a new one. You make it look like an accident. The guy's had 70 good years.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming up with any cures or anything.
Lonnie, 19, real quick here.
It's funny because my dad's retiring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but my instinct's like, from what? You haven't moved for 20 years. What are we going to do, freeze you? How do you retire? Well, just what do you do then? You just sleep in a tank of formaldehyde? Let's put a little hook you up to an IV, and you can just float. it'll be like altered states. We'll put you in a deprivation tank or something. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean retire? Retire. Lonnie?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to know about, birth control pills, because what happens if you, lose one or something and, do you just take the one for the next day, or do you just wait it out, or?
That same day? That's an interesting question. What if you lose a pill?
Because, one fell down the sink.
I would just go ahead and take the next day.
Next day. Okay.
And then what happens when you get to the end?
Yeah.
You're going to be a little short. That's all. It's all right.
So I'm just, so I should just, put another, strippy thing on it and have it just move it a day forward?
Yep.
And, would this affect anything, and how long would I have to wait?
I don't think it will.
It won't?
Whenever the pill is not being taken perfectly, you got to wait to your next cycle. But that kind of thing is not likely to affect much. What pill are you on?
Berlex.
That's the company. What's the pill?
I don't know. It's a little flighty thing.
I know. What does it say?
Do they? Who cares?
How many colors in the pills?
What?
How many colors on the pills?
Three or four.
Yeah.
So Skittles.
It's triphasal you're on, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Do you have the candy pills?
I guess so.
Yeah. No guy would ever entertain taking one of those.
Mm-mm.
You know,
you take them all at once and then, right?
Hey, Steve, these the four pills here, or how many are like six or seven?
Seven
pills here. That's just candy with a little blue food coloring. You're going to need you to take those anyway so you don't lose your place. You got to be like, F you. No guy would ever. Would any guy ever do that?
No, we'd be angry if you asked him to do that.
Yeah, like, how about I just take the other pill 1 week from now?
Yeah.
I think I can handle that.
Let's go out with Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, I don't know.
No!
Anderson doesn't want to play.
That wasn't too good.
Yeah.
That's
until
spinning
that's the end
wheel.
Of that
that's
song. Yeah, we'll be back. This is a good song, unlike almost all the other crap played in Los Angeles. What's going on in this city?
Same thing in New York, though.
Really?
Yeah.
We live in Los Angeles. We can't hear little Elvis Costello once in a while. Just a little Elvis Costello just once in a while. It can't do it. No station. That can't. No. Doesn't exist in L.A. Strange to me. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Big bubes.
Big bubes, y'all.
What?
You got a big bubes?
I have big bubes.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.